1 Peter chapter 5. It's good to see you in the Lord's house this morning. Hope you come looking for a blessing. Amen? And the Bible says, seek and you shall find. So if you come seeking, come looking, I'm sure the Lord's going to make sure you find one. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 1, this morning we're going to be preaching on our heritage. I don't know about you, but we all have always dreamed of having an inheritance or a heritage, right? I've had people say, well, preacher, there's a little difference between inheritance and heritage. Yes, I know. But most people get it mixed up. For those that don't know, inheritance is where your parents leave you some kind of a worldly possession. Amen? A heritage is where your parents leave you not a possession, but some kind of a style of life, some moral principles, some character, and something that you believe in. And this is what we're talking about this morning, your heritage. God has given us a heritage, and we must learn to live and learn to keep what His heritage is that He's given us. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 5. Turn my mouth down just a hair, son, just a hair. 1 Peter chapter 5. Got it on the board. All right, look in verse 1. It says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you. Take the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one unto another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resisteth steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that we have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settled you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we ask you now just to bless the reading of your word this morning. Help us as we look into your word and study your word and glean from it what you'll have us to put in our heart and our life. And Lord, there's someone here this morning that does not know you as their personal Savior. Lord, we ask you to save them today before it's everlastingly too late. Lord, may the rest of us see and hear today what your word is for our life, and that we can live our life pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, back, I'm not sure how long Ward's Creek's been here, but I'm sure it's been here, what, 70? 60? Sister Patsy, Sarah, how long has Ward's Creek been here?
Since 1800,
late 1800s. So 100 years. Ward's Creek's been here 100 years. Now, it was started by men of God that wanted to pass on a heritage for us. Don't you think about that? Today you're here. You was not born in the late 1800s when it started. But you are here because some men of God that God inspired and gave them a dream of building a lighthouse unto the Lord. That's what church is. It's a lighthouse. It's a beacon to the Lord, to the lost and dying world, so that others can see Christ. But they've left a heritage for us to fulfill. That's what we're going to be preaching on this morning. Our heritage. We have a heritage to fulfill. You realize that? We have a duty to fulfill our heritage. Why? Because they didn't leave us Ward's Creek just to come and have a social gathering. By the way, a lot of churches today, that's all they do is become a social gathering. They come and, hi, how are you? Make business contacts. And they go home and say, oh, wasn't it good to go to church? That's not what Ward's Creek was beginning to be. You say, how do you know, preacher? I wasn't there. But I can tell you, as a man of God, that's not the purpose of a church. The purpose of a church is to get souls saved, to reach the community for Christ. But let me show you something. We have a job to do. The number one job we have to do this morning is to protect our heritage. Protect our heritage. Son, are you with me? All right, he's right with me. All right. I've got a new puncher back there, so I got to make sure my puncher stays with me. Amen. Not anybody can just punch that and stay with the preacher because, see, preacher don't always follow an outline. And some of you probably, if you ever seen my, you know, if I ever give you my outline of my sermon for you to follow, you'll say, preacher, where are you at? That's where he's at. Amen. He's trying to figure out where I'm going next. But, you know, protect our heritage is our job. First, in order to protect your heritage, you must be a God-fearing believer. A God-fearing believer. Psalm 61, verse 5 says, for thou, O God, thou hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Now, let's stop here. I know many of you have heard me, but maybe in some cases somebody here hasn't. The word fear is not the way we use fear today. The word fear in the Bible is altogether a different thing. It's called respect in the Word of God. Those that respect God and His calling and His name. Today we use the fear as like, oh, I'm afraid. No, we're not afraid. We shouldn't ever be afraid of God. We ought to have a humble reverence for Him, a respect for Him. But you know, you don't see that today, do we? You don't see people with respect for God. You don't see a people with respect for Him and what He's done for us. The Bible says here that thou hast given the heritage of those that respect thy name or fear thy name. Today, church, we need to have some believers that are out of respect for God do what God wants them to do. Amen? Question for you. When you was growing up, young people, y'all sitting up here, even at home now, you have certain things mama and daddy does not have to verbally tell you to do. Do they not, right? You know, hey, it's your job to go do it. I know the other day, trash gets full. Alex, he walked through and he seen it. He said, I'm going to take trash out. I said, good. Good for you. Why? Because he knows it's his duty. You have those duties around you. The same is with us as Christians. We as a Christian know we have certain duties to perform out of respect for God. See, the reason why when he seen that trash, he carried it out without being told because it was out of respect for his mom and dad. When you do things for the Lord, it's out of respect for the Lord. So how are you respecting the Lord this morning? Do you respect Him? Are you fearing Him? Well, you should. Amen? You should, because He's the one that gives you air to breathe. He's the one that keeps your heart a beating. Amen? He's the one that takes care of you, and He's the one that provides everything for you throughout the day. You say, well, preacher, no, I do that. No, you don't do anything on your own. It has to be God that does it. Amen? Number two, out of protecting our heritage, a way is through a godly testimony or God's testimony. Today, we don't know what testimonies are, do we? Do we know what testimonies are today? Well, let's read the verse. Maybe you'll get the idea. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, that they are the rejoicing of my heart. The psalmist David writes this in Psalms 119. You know what he was referring to? If you read back through Psalms 119, you'll find out what he's referring to. I'm talking about the testimonies of God. The children of Israel, what happened? When God reached down and provided manna from heaven and fed them. Later, hundreds of years later, the children of Israel looked back and said, hey, look, you remember that? That was a heritage of God's protection. God fed us. And they recited the stories to their kids. And in fact, I remember Brother Mike telling me, we were sitting there one time, and those that don't know Brother Mike, he was the pastor before me here. I used to work, I was his associate when we was in New Boston together. And he was a Jew. A Jew thinks different than we, you and I. They have a different take on things. And a Jew, he was telling me, from a small child is told of the stories in the Bible. He told me many times, and I'm sure he's told many of you while he was here, how he remembered his dad reading the book of Deuteronomy to him. And his daddy was lost. But yet his daddy wanted to make sure he knew about the law, the book of the law. Why? It was our heritage that he was passing forth. It was a testimony. Your heritage is a testimony. Today, I started to ask people to say, hey, look, church, who's got a testimony this morning about what God has done for you the last week? You ever thought about it? Are they something you can testify to? Huh? If so, you need to make sure you testify to it because it's a heritage for your children and their children's children. You know, I can remember my dad one day down in Henderson, Texas. And we was pastoring down there. I was first, second grade down there when I was down there. I came up here when I was third grade. So I was in kindergarten, first, second down there in Henderson. And I remember, you know, I wasn't old enough to remember a whole lot of things, but I do remember this because it was an impact. We didn't have enough food in the house. The church, it was a small church. And my dad was working at Gibson's. And any of you remember Gibson's years ago? Anyway, Gibson's had a big place down there, and he was working in the shoe department at Gibson's, and we didn't have no food. And I remember this as well as if it was yesterday. We gathered around the table, and my mom and my little brother and I and him and my older brother Jimmy, and we sit there, and Dad says, well, boys, I don't have anything for you to eat right now, but God's going to provide. God's going to provide. I remember him praying. And you know what he was praying? There was a knock on the front door. He said, preacher, what was it? It was God providing. Because my dad went to the door and opened it. Another preacher that was from Kilgore, Texas, come. And him, he had a big van and three or four people, and they just started bringing in groceries. Just start bringing it in. That's a testimony. That's a heritage that I have to pass on to my kids. and to others of what? God providing. God providing. That's a testimony, church. Where's your testimony? Do you not have something in your life where God's provided for you, taken care of you, done something special for you? If not, you need to ask Him for one, amen? You need to make sure that you have something to pass on as a heritage to others. Why? Because, see, God will give you a heritage. He's already done a heritage. I'm sure many of you today grew up in Christian homes, and you have parents like I did that brought you up and taught you the Word of God, and you've seen God work in their life, and you've seen God bless, and you've seen God do things in their life that it's become a heritage to you. Say, preacher, what do you mean? You look back when things get going tough, and you say, God, can't you do that like you did for my mom and dad? Can't you do that for me like you did for my grandparents? Can't you do that for me like... That's what a heritage is for. Amen? It's a testimony for you to make you stronger in His service. Now, what else we got? Not only God's testimony, but God's provisions. God provides. Amen? Psalms 136:21 says, "And give their land for our heritage, for His mercy endureth forever." I don't know about you, but God provides so much for each and every one of us. Sometimes we don't sit down and count what God has done. You realize that? We don't take into consideration what all God has done for us. We need to, because God's blessed us. God has provided for us. God has done so many things in our life of God's provisions. You know, I was listening to the radio the other day. I guess it's about 3 weeks ago now, maybe 2 weeks ago. And I was listening to this man talk, and he was saying, you know, our young people coming out of school have no desire. What they call the millennials, that's you guys up here, the millennials. They have no desire to own a house. They have no desire to own a car. They have no desire to own a land. They have no desire to have this, but all they want to do is to rent and to make do. Because of that philosophy, you'll see shows on TV like, I don't know if you've ever seen this, called The Tiny House. I mean, they look like, I wouldn't want to be put in one, amen? It looks like a little prison to me because they're so tight, they're so little. But that's all they want. Can I tell you something, church? God says here, and give their land for a heritage. Did you know God gave the children of Israel their own land? And it's to be passed on for heritage. Amen? For heritage. Now, so many of us, you'll say, well, preacher, I just don't want that. I don't want to have no... You know, I don't know. They got a warped way of thinking in the millennials here lately. And it's coming from out of the school system and coming from their warped philosophy of music and things like this. But let me tell you something, church. God gives us our land for our heritage. Did you know America is something that God gave us for our heritage? It might be one day we had to pick up guns and fight for it once again. You realize that? We don't know. We don't know where our country is going right now, but our country is our heritage. This church is our heritage. We might have to fight to keep the doors open. You say, preacher, you think that's going to happen? I know it's going to happen. We need to watch out. But see, God provides His provision. God gives each and every one of us stuff and things for His sake and for His use. Just like God gave us this church building for our use. God gave us this land for His use. We need to make sure we use it for His glory. Then not only protect our heritage, but we need to pass on our heritage. Amen? So we have a job to protect our heritage, do we not? We have a job to protect it. But we also have a job to pass it on by being an example. An example. We see back in verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. We're supposed to be an example to the Lord and for the Lord. You know, how can you be an example this morning in carrying on God's heritage? Have you ever thought about it? How can you be an example to carry on God's heritage? Well, look with me at Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. We use a word in our language today called our standard. Or having a standard barrier. What it's talking about is a flag. We have an American flag as our standard. By the way, mark my words this morning, our flag will come under assault before too long. It already is. But mark it out. Why? Because it represents a bloody, ruthless nation, and it does not. It represents a free nation. Amen? They start off by perverting what the standard is. Today, let's look back at what God's standards are. We have a job to do, and that's to pass on and be an example for our young people. And it's to be a standard. Exodus 17, verse 14. And the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. What does that mean? Jehovah Nissi, if you looked it up, means Lord our banner. Amen. We used to sing a song many years ago. Banner over me is love. Any of you ever sing? Have you ever heard of it? It's banner over me is love. Jehovah Nissi. God's banner over us is His love. Amen. Verse 16. But for He said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. God is our standard this morning. He's our banner. We're to exalt Him. We're to put His name above all. I got tickled. I turned on Facebook here the other night, and I was just on there a few minutes. I don't have a whole lot of time anymore to get on there and mess around. But my nephew, he's married my niece down here in Tyler. And he goes out. He's a gun, I don't know, he teaches gun training courses. If you want the concealed weapon carry permit, you got to go see people like him to do the training. But he was out in the yard doing some target shooting the other night, and some Jehovah's Witnesses walked up. Amen. And he shut them down and started witnessing to them about God, and they was ready to leave. And I put on there, amen, praise the Lord. And he wrote back and he says, it's unbelievable when you start lifting up the name of God how fast they're wanting to run. They don't have no part of it. They want to tell you about what they want you to know, but yet they don't want to listen about the true God. Thing is, God is our banner. He's our standard that we need to lift high. We need to lift Him up and say, hey, look. Look what God's done. We need to look. Hey, look what God's done. God's doing this for me. Hey, you say, is that bragging? No, preacher. No, no, church, is not bragging. It's just simply lifting Him up. It's lifting Him up. You know why we have the problems today in churches? You know why people have problems in their life the way they have them? It's because they look around and they see nobody lifting up the standard. They see nobody saying, well, they're going through the same problem I've been through, and how do they overcome it? This is the reason why when God gives you victory, you need to let people know, hey, look, God gave me victory over this. You can too. Amen? Because it gives people hope. Because, you know, I talk to people all the time. I run into a lady here just a few weeks ago. And she told me, she says, preacher, she said, I went through a massive divorce, and then he passed away. And she goes, the divorce wasn't, you know, quite finalized, and I inherited all the bills and this and that. And she says, I'm just struggling. And, you know, and she was buried. And she was like, I don't know who, you know, I don't know who to turn to. I said, well, turn to God. Let God take care of it. And she said, you mean God will do that for me? I said, oh, yeah, if he'll let you. She had never, after talking with her, she had never known somebody that had turned something over to God and God gave them the victory. Let me tell you here, church, God will give you the victory if you let him. God will be here to help you. He'll take you through it. He will guide you and protect you, but you must allow God to work in your life. God is our standard. We must lift him up before a dying world. Next, convictions in what we believe. Convictions. You say, preacher, what is a conviction? It's something that you've been dealt with God and showed to be wrong or to be right. And you believe it and you're willing to go fight for it. Amen? You're willing to stand up and take the arrows for it. I have people say, preacher, you're awful bold when it comes against tobacco and drinking. And I am, because I've been on the other side where I've seen what it did. I've seen what it does. I got an older brother right now that was buried because of drinking. All right? Because of drinking. It literally killed him. I never forget. He told me before he died, about 3 months before he died, he said, John, he says, if I have never ever picked up the bottle to start with, I would not be where I'm at today. Don't you think about it? That was out of his own mouth. That was his own confession. If I would have never picked up the bottle to start with, if I would have never took the first drink, why? Because one drink leads to another, and another drink leads to another. And next thing you know, you can't stop, and you're in so far down, and you've done so much damage to your body, it's not worth it. Had another young man a while back that Sister Katie and I know real good, and some boy, BJ, he got hooked on drugs when he was 16, 17 years old. He's dead. The last 10 years of his life was horrible. Many of you might know him from the radio station. He was a DJ, BJ the DJ. But he died a horrible death. Why? Because of drugs. What I'm trying to get to you this morning is this. Church, we need to have some conviction on what we believe. John chapter 3, verse 19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doth evil hate the light, neither come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and they are wrought in God. In other words, you know why people sleep all day and prowl all night? Let's just be honest. Because the majority of their deeds are evil. I didn't say it, God did. Why do you think a thief wants to break into your house? Not in the broad daylight, which they do now, but the majority still take place at night. Why? The cover of darkness. Because their deeds are evil. Why is that the case? Because they don't have God in their heart. They don't know the light. They've never seen the light. Today we have people, yes, preacher, I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. They have no clue what they believe. So, preacher, you're hitting a nerve this morning. I know it. It's getting awful quiet. We as Christians need to know what we believe. Say, so, like, what do you mean? Well, if I was to ask you, what about the virgin birth? What could you tell me? You know, it's a lot of the answers I get here in the auditorium. Oh, no. What if I was to ask you about the resurrection? What do you believe about the resurrection? Can you tell me? So, preacher, what does that have to do with anything? Those are basic core beliefs. Amen? Why? Because if you don't believe Jesus rose from the dead, what are you believing in? See, this morning, Jesus rose from the dead. He's sitting at the right hand of God. I know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Why? First of all, God said so. Second of all, the grave's empty. Amen? Got proof over there. You can go look. He's empty. These are convictions. What are your convictions? Some people need to get some conviction about going to church. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as some is, even though as they see the day approaching." Amen? What's going on? What's that mean? It means we need to get some conviction about, hey, every time them doors are open, I need to be there. And the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more I need to be there. Brother John, I'm so convinced that the Lord's going to come on Sunday morning. I'm joking. I don't know when the Lord's going to come, but I guarantee you, a lot of people's going to have a lot of egg on their face on Sunday morning where they should have been in church. The Lord comes, finds them sitting at home or out sleeping or playing golf or fishing or whatever they do besides coming to the Lord's house. What I'm trying to tell you this morning, we need to get some conviction, amen? We need to get back to the old basics. We need to get back to thus saith the Lord. Then, in order to pass it on, we need to live a life that's pleasing. Live a pleasing life. Jeremiah 12, 15 says, "And it shall come to pass, after that I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them, and will bring them again, every man to his heritage, and every man to his land." You know, God has got you something for heritage. He's got something for you. You just need to ask Him for it. Amen? You need to ask Him for it. Today, we have a lot of people that they're not worried about their heritage. This is the reason why we don't have a lot of people here in church. Something else I've observed over the years of my life. I've noticed a family, a mama and daddy, let's say they have two kids or three kids, and they have been in church all their life. Dad and mom passes away. You look around, where are the three kids at? They're not carrying on the heritage that God intended for them to do. In fact, one out of seven are in church. So what does that mean? Out of two families that's got, say, three and one, you got four, it means one's in church and the other's nowhere to be found. They're not serving God. They're out of church. Why is that? Because we have failed to carry on the heritage of our father and mother. We have failed to carry on the heritage of God. If that keeps going, church, there'll be no churches here in the next 50 years. Why? Because the church is dying. Why? Because we've not passed on a heritage. We've not passed on a heritage. You say, preacher, why is that happening? A lot of it is because mama and daddy failed to transplant what they knew about God into their kids' heart and lives. something I've seen, and I've had told me many a time, is, well, you know, preacher, when I was a kid, mom and dad, they made me go to church. I'm in church today, but I'm not making my kids go to church. Guess what? Let's just be honest. Their kids' blood and their grandkids' blood is going to be on their hands. Why? Because I guarantee you these young people up here don't have enough sense to get in off the highway in the middle of a rainstorm, unless you meet them. Guys, I'm sorry, I love you. But it's true, isn't it? Y'all rather be out there doing nothing than be where God wants you to be. Why? Because that's the way kids are. Amen? That's the way we all have been. Unless somebody made you do something. You know, you go to work, you start a new job or something, and unless they make you do something, you're not going to do it until somebody makes you do it. Right? What I'm trying to point out to you is this, is sometimes we have failed to pass on the heritage. We have failed to pass on what God wants us to do. How do we do it? By submitting yourselves. Verse 5 says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. Ye all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. And God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Hey, you say, well, preacher, what in the world is an elder? Well, in our church, we call them deacons. Some churches call them elders. The word deacon means servant. The word elder means authority. All right? Means authority. Anytime someone's older than you, more mature than you, not always older, it usually has nothing to do with age. When a person is more mature than you are, they are to have authority. They'll be your elder. It is assumed that just because somebody is a few years older than you, that they're more mature. Sometimes that's not always the case. I remember years ago meeting a young man. I mean, he was 19, 20 years old. And here I was like 35, 36, Brother John. And he was very mature. Amen? He was very mature. What I'm trying to point out to you is this. The word elder, the Bible says that we need to submit ourselves to our elders. Those that's in authority over you. Those that are older. Who can that be? Well, it could be your preacher. Could be your deacon. It could be the Sunday school teacher. Could be your mom and daddy. Amen? All those have authority over you. The Bible says you need to submit yourself to them in order to pass on your heritage. Submit yourself to them. And then we see something else. Not only submit, but in verse 6 it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you. Not only are you to submit yourself to the Lord, you're to humble yourself to the Lord. So, preacher, what does that mean? That means, Lord, you lead on. And we go. Sometimes our mouths are going like yes, and God's going, I can't say nothing. They're not listening. That's not being real humble, is it? We need to humble ourselves to the Lord. And then number 7, or verse 7 says, cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. What do you need to do? If you want to pass on a heritage, you need to cast all your burdens, all your cares upon the Lord. Let the Lord take care of them. Just say, here, Lord, have at it. Take control. Take control. What is your heritage that you're passing on? Are you passing on a heritage? Families, do your kids know about the heritage of God's love for them? Do they? They need to. Many times today, we failed to teach our heritage unto others. Aaron, sit down, please. Now, it's enough running in and out. Heritage is of the Lord. Heritage is of the Lord. So many times we have failed to pass on that heritage to the younger generation. So many times we as adults have failed to keep the heritage that was passed on to us. We need to pass on the heritage. Say, preacher, how do you do that? Real quickly, get in prayer with God. Read your Bible. Study. Get close to the Lord. And then share it with your kids. Let them know what God's doing for your life. Have that testimony to your kids. With every head bowed and every eye closed. How is it in your life? How is it in your life? Is your life ready to meet the Lord this morning? If you stand before God today and God was to ask you if you kept His heritage, what would your answer be? Would it be, I've tried to keep your heritage? I've tried to pass your heritage on? Or some of us will say, I don't know. What heritage? Church, we've got a job to do. Our job is to tell others about Christ. Our job is to get the others that don't know Jesus to come to the Lord's house and start serving Him. That's our heritage. Lord, we ask you now to take this message. Use it for your honor and your glory. Lord, there's someone here that does not know you as our personal Savior this morning. Lord, we ask you to save them before it's everlastingly too late. Then, Lord, there's maybe some here that they need to start putting some roots down, starting to pass on a heritage to their children and to their grandchildren. Whatever your will is in their life, Lord, we help them. We ask you today to persuade them to do so. But Lord, above all, we need to be in possession of your heritage. And we need to pass it on to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We stand. What number are we going to sing?